tuning in. And once again, this piece would not be possible without the support from the Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece available on frequencynews.ca.
Every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I don't care if it takes every second of our time and every ounce of our energy. We either get this government back on our side or we defund and get rid of, abolish the FBI, CDC, ATF, DOJ, every last one of them if they do not come to heel.
Donald Trump has picked far-right Congressman Matt Gaetz to be his attorney general, who would head the Department of Justice, which Gaetz once wanted abolished. The nomination shocked many in Washington, in part because Gaetz himself was the target of a DOJ sex trafficking investigation and was still under a House ethics probe that ended only yesterday when Gaetz resigned from Congress before a highly damaging report comes out. We'll look at his nomination and the growing fear Trump will weaponize the department to go after political enemies. Then to Gaza, as a special UN committee says Israel's actions are, quote, consistent with the characteristics of genocide. And a federal judge in Virginia has ordered the U.S. military contractor CACI to pay $42 million to three Iraqi men who were tortured at the notorious Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. A UN special committee has found Israel's actions in Gaza since October 2023 are consistent with genocide, including using starvation as a weapon of war and recklessly inflicting civilian casualties. The report released today comes one day after a Human Rights Watch report found Israel's committed war crimes and crimes against humanity through its mass forced displacement of civilians in Gaza. Human Rights Watch is calling on nations to adopt sanctions and halt weapon sales to Israel. But Israel's indiscriminate slaughter continues, with at least five Palestinians killed today in central Gaza's Al-Maghazi refugee camp. Elsewhere, at least two people were killed by an Israeli strike on a tent encampment for displaced Palestinians near Nuseirat. Meanwhile, the UN's Humanitarian Affairs Office warned Palestinian children are at high risk of injury or death from unexploded ordnance left after more than 13 months of Israeli attacks. Among the victims is severely wounded 8-year-old Mohammed Karmash. This is his mother.
No one was there to tell him that these are explosives that the Israelis throw. The children play with them and they blow up. What is happening to us is not fair. His father died at the Karni border and his body stayed there. What is happening to us is not fair, really.
In Lebanon, Israel launched at least seven airstrikes on Beirut's southern suburbs overnight after ordering residents to leave their homes. At least eight people were killed in Israeli attacks on the village of Dahit Aramun, south of the capital. Israeli warplanes also struck Damascus and the Syrian city of Homs. In southern Lebanon, Israel's army says six soldiers were killed Wednesday in exchange of gunfire with Hezbollah fighters defending Lebanese territory. The deaths were announced after Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz said he'd expanded Israel's military ground operation in southern Lebanon. Meanwhile, the Washington Post is reporting a close aide to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told Donald Trump and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, this week that Israel's rushing to advance a ceasefire deal in Lebanon is a gift to Trump ahead of his inauguration in January. The UN Security Council voted to extend sanctions on Yemen for another year, freezing assets and banning travel by leaders of Yemen's Houthi movement. Wednesday's vote came after the U.S. and U.K. launched airstrikes on Yemen over the weekend, targeting what the Pentagon said were advanced weapon storage facilities. The bombings came after Houthis fired missiles and drones at Israel and attacked commercial vessels in the Red Sea in response to Israel's war on Gaza and Lebanon. Senate Republicans have selected John Thune of South Dakota to become the next majority leader, replacing Mitch McConnell as the party's leader. Republicans picked the establishment conservative over Texas Senator John Cornyn and Trump loyalist Florida Senator Rick Scott. The White House is urging Senate Democrats to quickly confirm some 30 federal judges appointed by President Biden before Trump comes into office and Democrats lose control of the Senate. Meanwhile, Pennsylvania's Senate race is headed for a recount as Republican David McCormick remains ahead of incumbent Democratic Senator Bob Casey by only 28,000 votes. If McCormick's lead holds, Republicans will have a 53-seat majority in the U.S. Senate. Meanwhile, House Republicans have nominated Speaker Mike Johnson to remain head of the conference as Republicans cemented their control of the House of Representatives. In other news from Washington, President Biden hosted Trump at the White House Wednesday, continuing a longstanding tradition, though Trump did not host Biden after Trump's loss in the 2020 election. President-elect Trump announced Wednesday he's nominating disgraced Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz as Attorney General. Also on Wednesday, Gaetz abruptly resigned from Congress. It came just 2 days before a highly damaging report about Gaetz was set to be released by the House Ethics Committee, according to multiple sources. Gaetz was at the center of a sex trafficking probe, which included allegations he misused campaign funds, engaged in bribery, and obstructed government. The House committee has now lost its jurisdiction to investigate Gaetz since he retired, though it could still release their report. Trump's also nominated former Democratic Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard to become Director of National Intelligence. Before entering politics, Gabbard was part of the U.S. Army Psychological Operations Command. Critics warn of Gabbard's support for anti-Muslim figures, including Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi and his Hindu nationalist government. Meanwhile, concerns are mounting over Trump's pick to lead the Pentagon. The Fox News weekend host and military veteran Pete Hegseth. CBS News reports Hegseth was one of 12 National Guard members who was removed as a guard for President Biden's 2021 inauguration over possible extremist ties. Hegseth has tattoos associated with the white supremacist and neo-Nazi movements, including what's known as the Jerusalem Cross, a symbol used by Christian nationalists. In related news, the government watchdog Accountable U.S. announced it's launching a Trump accountability war room to monitor Trump's appointments and executive actions as he takes up his second term. House Democrats are introducing a resolution to clarify the Constitution's two-term limit for presidents applies even if the terms are not consecutive. The resolution, set to be unveiled by New York Congressmember Daniel Goldman today, comes after Trump joked to House Republicans on Wednesday, quote, "I suspect I won't be running again unless you say he's so good we've got to figure something else out," unquote. A new study suggests the death toll in Sudan's devastating civil war is far higher than is being reported, with as many as 61,000 killed in Khartoum in the first 14 months of the war, which began in April of last year. Researchers from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine say over a third of those were violent deaths, while others were caused by starvation, illness, and lack of medical care. Most deaths were not officially recorded, as many victims were never brought to a morgue or treated in a hospital, many of which have been destroyed in the fighting. This is Mohammed Omar, who helped bury his friend, the musician Khalid Sankhouri, in his front yard in the city of Omdurman.
My brother Khaled was sick and the war started, and this is a frontline area. There were no hospitals or pharmacies where we could get medicine, not even markets to buy food, which is essential to one's health. These were all factors which had an impact until his body was frail and he got sick.
The war in Sudan has forced some 11 million people to flee their homes and led to the world's largest hunger crisis. Half of Sudan's population, nearly 25 million people, are in need of aid. Earlier this week, the Darfur Women Action Group appealed to the UN Security Council to deploy peacekeepers to Sudan, citing the scorched earth tactics of the paramilitary rapid support forces in North Darfur, including rampant sexual violence and indiscriminate killings. In Haiti, Two patients being treated by Doctors Without Borders were killed after their ambulance was ambushed in the capital, Port-au-Prince. The organization said its workers were violently attacked by vigilantes and police officers during the ambush. The attack comes as Haiti is suffering a worsening security and humanitarian crisis. Earlier this week, the Federal Aviation Administration banned all civilian flights from the U.S. to Haiti for a month after gang members fired on JetBlue and Spirit Airlines planes at the Port-au-Prince airport. As the COP29 climate summit continues in Azerbaijan, activists stage a protest at a Baku sports stadium, holding up giant letters spelling out the words, pay up. Financing is the key issue of this year's summit, but wealthy nations like the U.S. have so far refused to commit the necessary funds to manage the climate crisis they've disproportionately created. This is Sandra Guzman from the group GFLAC.
For instance, if we reduce the fossil fuel subsidies, if we tax the richest, we could be already generating sources to pay for climate change. So it's not a lack of money. It's a lack of a political will to allocate that money where it is needed.
This comes as a new report says $1 trillion per year should be spent on helping poorer countries mitigate the effects of the climate disaster. A separate report finds the world is on track for a disastrous 2.7 degrees centigrade temperature rise. In other news from COP29, Argentina has withdrawn its 80-plus negotiators from the UN summit. Argentina's far-right president, Javier Milei, has previously called the climate crisis a socialist lie. A Central Intelligence Agency official is due to appear in federal court on Guam today, charged with disclosing classified documents that revealed Israeli military planning to attack Iran. The documents reference recent Israeli drills involving air-launched ballistic missiles, as well as covert drone activity. The official, Asif Rahman, was arrested in Cambodia last week and indicted on two counts of willful retention and transmission of national defense information under the Espionage Act. Meanwhile, a federal court in Massachusetts has sentenced Air National Guardsman Jack Teixeira to 15 years in prison for violating the Espionage Act. The 22-year-old had pleaded guilty to leaking highly classified Pentagon intelligence documents about Russia's war in Ukraine to a group of gamers on the messaging app Discord. Teixeira was convicted of violating the same part of the Espionage Act initially used by federal prosecutors to charge Donald Trump over his mishandling of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago before U.S. District Judge Aileen Cannon, a Trump appointee, dismissed the case. We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast. And in media news, The Guardian announced it'll no longer post their content on X, formerly known as Twitter, though X users will still be able to share Guardian articles from the platform. The Guardian writes, quote, "The U.S. presidential election campaign served only to underline what we've considered for a long time, that X is a toxic media platform and that its owner, Elon Musk, has been able to use its influence to shape political discourse." And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. Coming up, Donald Trump's picked far-right Congressman Matt Gaetz to be Attorney General. He'll head the Justice Department, a move that shocked many in Washington. Coming up in a minute. We'll be right back. Dorian by Roy Haynes, the legendary jazz drummer, died Tuesday at the age of 99. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. Many lawmakers on Capitol Hill are expressing shock. President-elect Donald Trump's selection of Florida Congressmember Matt Gaetz to be attorney general. Gaetz is a far-right Trump loyalist who led the effort to oust House Speaker Kevin McCarthy last year and has defended participants in the January 6th insurrection. The nomination of Florida Congressman Gaetz is widely seen as part of Trump's plans to weaponize the Department of Justice to target political enemies. But his confirmation in the Senate is not guaranteed. Gaetz was recently under a federal sex trafficking investigation involving an underage girl. While federal charges were never filed, the House Ethics Committee has also been looking into Gaetz's actions. The committee was scheduled to release what was expected to be a highly damaging report about Gaetz as soon as Friday. But on Wednesday, following his nomination, Gaetz resigned as congressmember from the House, likely putting an end to the probe. The House Ethics Committee had previously said it was investigating whether Gaetz, quote, may have engaged in sexual misconduct and/or illicit drug use, shared inappropriate images or videos on the House floor, misused state identification records, converted campaign funds to personal use, and/or accepted a bribe, improper gratuity, or impermissible gift in violation of House rules, laws, or other standards of conduct, unquote. 4 years ago, Gaetz sought a preemptive pardon from Trump. This is Republican Senator Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma speaking to CNN last year, shortly after Gaetz helped oust House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
You got to think about this guy. This is a guy that didn't have, that the media didn't give a time of day to after he was accused of sleeping with an underage girl. And there's a reason why no one and the conference came and defended him, because we had all seen the videos he was showing on the House floor that all of us had walked away of the girls that he had slept with. He'd brag about how he would crush ED medicine and chase it with an energy drink so he could go all night. This is obviously before he got married. And so when that accusation came out, no one defended him, and then no one on the media would give him a time of the day. All of a sudden, he found fame because he opposed the Speaker of the House.
That was Republican Senator Mark Wayne Mullen speaking about Congressman Matt Gaetz last year. We're joined now by two guests. Zach Beauchamp is a senior correspondent at Vox covering the crisis of global democracy, the author of The Reactionary Spirit: How America's Most Insidious Political Traditions Swept the World. Noah Bookbinder is the president of the D.C. watchdog nonprofit Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, known as CREW. He formerly prosecuted public corruption cases for the Department of Justice. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! Noah Bookbinder, let's begin with you. First, talk about how important the attorney general is, and especially for our global audience, to explain what it means to run the Department of Justice, and then to talk about who Matt Gaetz is.
Sure. So the Attorney General is the chief law enforcement officer of the United States. The Attorney General runs the Department of Justice, which brings all federal prosecutions in the United States, but also handles vast amounts of civil litigation, environmental litigation, civil rights litigation. The Department of Justice sets legal policy for the executive branch of the government. It's hard to overstate what an important position the Attorney General is, both in the actual management of the justice system in the United States, and it's setting the tone for how justice works in the United States. Now, I don't think anybody should be shocked when Donald Trump does exactly the kind of thing that Donald Trump said he would do and the kinds of things that he's done in the past. So in some ways, this is not a shocking nomination. Matt Gaetz is a loyalist to Donald Trump. He is a firebrand in the spirit of Donald Trump, but he is somebody who has no appreciable law enforcement experience. He has downplayed the January 6th attacks on the Capitol and actually promoted conspiracy theories about them. And he's been the subject of legal and ethical investigations himself. So he is certainly not the kind of person you want setting the tone for the justice system in the United States, not the kind of person you want making decisions about how the Department of Justice is going to work.
Now, Noah, if you can explain the sex trafficking allegations that Matt Gaetz has been dealing with for years, you have this reportedly very damaging report, though no criminal charges were brought, that the Department of Justice was going to release. And by him resigning yesterday, the report apparently doesn't come out unless it's leaked.
Well, so on that last point first, it is true that the House Ethics Committee generally investigates members of the House of Representatives while they are there, and often or generally investigations close when members leave. But there actually is precedent for that committee to investigate members after they have left and release reports after they have left. So that is something that that committee can do, should do, as this nomination is considered. And, you know, there's no reason why that investigation and that report has to die because Congressman Gaetz just resigned. He was investigated for apparently for sexual conduct with an underage person, for potential involvement in trafficking, for potential drug use, for potential sharing of inappropriate videos on the House floor. We don't know the facts because as of now, there haven't been charges, and we haven't seen that House Ethics Committee report. But our organization has actually sued to obtain the Department of Justice's files on their investigation. And there is that House report that reportedly is very damaging and that ought to be made public, and it should be made public right away.
I want to go to House Speaker, former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, speaking at Georgetown in April about then Congressman Matt Gaetz.
And I'll give you the truth why I'm not Speaker. It's because one person, a member of Congress, wanted me to stop an ethics complaint because he slept with a 17-year-old. An ethics complaint that started before I ever became Speaker, and that's illegal, and I'm not going to get in the middle.
So that is former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. I want to bring Zach Beauchamp into the conversation, senior correspondent for Vox. If you can tell us more about Matt Gaetz, also his past connection with Joel Greenberg, and his resume, however thin it is.
Yeah, I mean, Finn is right. He is a law school graduate, so technically he's a lawyer, but there is no law enforcement experience to speak of, as we just learned. He's been a member of Congress. He's 42 years old, if I'm recalling the exact number correctly. And look, I'm in my late 30s, nothing against younger adults being ambitious, but you really need to be extraordinarily impressive if you want to, at the particular stage in his career, take a job as big as attorney general. And Gaetz just doesn't have any relevant qualifications to do that. Moreover, his chief qualification, right, as far as I can tell, based on all the reporting that's come out, is his willingness to do whatever Donald Trump needs to be done, right? Trump picked him because, according to a report in the Bulwark this year, sourced to Trump insiders, or excuse me, this morning, he was going in there and he wants to start chopping heads, though there's an expletive in there that I've cut out for broadcast purposes. He really, really is the kind of person that you would appoint if what you're trying to do is to take an axe to the nonpartisan functioning of the Justice Department.
So I want to go to Matt Gaetz in his own words, speaking at CPAC, that's the Conservative Political Action Conference, in 2023.
I don't care if it takes every second of our time and every ounce of our energy. We either get this government back on our side or we defund and get rid of, abolish the FBI, CDC, ATF, DOJ, every last one of them, if they do not come to heel.
So, Noah Bookbinder, if you can comment on this and also talk about what it would mean if he was attorney general, what it would mean also in terms of the cases against Donald Trump, the president-elect?
Yeah, well, one of the key things about the Department of Justice and the Attorney General is that they need to have some independence from the administration. There have been protections built in over decades that, you know, you don't have a president dictating who's going to be prosecuted, who's not going to be prosecuted. You know, certainly the president's policy preferences play a role, but the president should not be deciding what kind of justice is administered. What you heard from Matt Gaetz is the polar opposite of that. You heard Congressman Gaetz essentially saying that the Department of Justice and these other parts of government have to be brought to our side. They have to be brought to heel. They should essentially be made political weapons of a particular party and a particular president. That is not how the Department of Justice has ever functioned and not how it's meant to function in our system. So I think there is a real danger that if you put in somebody like Matt Gaetz and he does the kinds of things that he says he's going to do and that Donald Trump seems to want an attorney general to do, you're going to have a entirely different, much less democratic system in the United States, where you have a Department of Justice and a justice system that is meant to serve the political objectives of the person in power rather than actually serving justice. And that's something that, you know, regardless of the decision that Americans made in the election recently, I don't think there are very many Americans who want that.
Zach Beauchamp, you tweeted yesterday, Gaetz at justice is the clearest signal of authoritarian intent imaginable. And you also tweeted, inside Trump's ominous plan to turn civil rights law. Well, this was a headline of a piece that you wrote, inside Trump's ominous plan to turn civil rights law against vulnerable Americans. Talk about both. You'd also written about making America hungry again.
That's right. So my book is about how modern authoritarianism works and why it rises in countries that seemed like previously strong or healthy democracies. And one of the clearest pathways, right, from getting from a democracy to a more authoritarian system of government is the replacement of key government functionaries and executive figures with loyalists. So when you take people who had a degree of independence, as the attorney general is supposed to, and you turn them into political apparatchiks who twist the law into whatever the chief executive of the country needs it to be in order to advance his political interests, that to me is that's sort of like the biggest, clearest, we are in trouble signal that one could send. And given especially that CPAC clip that you just played and Gaetz's long track record of talking like this, he's exactly that kind of person. Now, the civil rights question you asked, right? So what I was trying to do when I wrote that piece is to take what Trump and his staff have talked about sort of abstractly and see how it would play out when it applies to one portion of the Justice Department, specifically the Civil Rights Division, which has a very, very large ambit of responsibilities. But, you know, in brief, you can summarize it as enforcing the laws that are designed to address structural inequalities in the American political system. And so that means that they enforce anti-discrimination law in employment, in housing. It means that they deal with the Voting Rights Act and enforcement of discrimination in voting law, on down the list, right? And so what you can see if this department is twisted to do what Trump wants it to do is a department that functions in the exact inverse of the way it's supposed to. So to take anti-discrimination law, what you can do is turn it into anti-discrimination against whites, which is to say dismantling protections for minority groups and using those laws that are designed to create essentially an environment of, hi, sweetie, hold on, I'm on TV, to create an environment in which people are prosecuted for creating systems that are designed to ameliorate longstanding patterns of discrimination by calling it a new form of anti-white discrimination.
I know that you have to go, Zach, to do some childcare duties, and so I'm going to let you go. She is very, very sweet. Zach Beecham is senior correspondent at Vox, covering the crisis of global democracy, and we'll have you back on all too soon. Author of the recent book, The Reactionary Spirit, How America's Most Insidious Political Tradition Swept the World. But Noah Bookbinder, given that you don't have kids who are pulling at your sleeve, I want to ask you about the court cases that Donald Trump faces or now will not face. You know, a lot of people say the cases are just going to go away.